Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is an actor, writer, and martial artist currently crowdfunding his new film, The Outlaw Johnny Black. For more information, go to outlawjohnnyblackmovie.com. Black Dynamite himself, Michael Jai White, is here. Michael, how are you doing tonight?
Doing fine yourself?
Oh, man. Doing pretty good. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. It's nice to talk to you. You've been around forever. I'm looking at your face. I'm saying, oh, my God, that's Spawn. The movie that you're making is it's like a Western.
Yeah, it's in the tradition of Black Dynamite. It's what we always intended to be the second movie. I plan on doing a trilogy of movies kind of similar to Black Dynamite.
Are you going to space in the third one?
Well, no. We're going to go into the horror genre on the third one. This is kind of a homage to Westerns and movies like, dare I say, Blazing Saddles, that type of thing.
Kind of looked like Fred Williamson in The Boss. In the trailer I saw. Did you?
I know exactly what movie you're talking about that we can't say.
Yeah, we can't say it, but it's a great movie.
Yeah, I think about that theme song.
Oh, hey, it's amazing.
It's hilarious.
Well, you were like a big action guy for a while, and Black Dynamite was kind of like your first real foray into comedy. What made you decide to go that route, or did it just sort of happen? Well,
It's not my first. Actually, I'd done several comedy things, but it's kind of like when, you could do dramas and comedies, but when you start doing action, people start to define you by that because it's so specific, especially martial arts stuff.
Right.
So, I kind of knew that going into this business, which is why I didn't do any martial art type stuff. Well into later into my career, because I knew that there was that tendency. But so, I'd done comedies, I'd done movies. Why Did I Get Married? A movie called Thick as Thieves with Alec Baldwin. Ringmaster. I did several comedies beforehand.
You were a black belt in seven different styles of martial arts, and you started like at a really young age, so that was kind of like your first passion, I assume. What made you decide you wanted to get into acting?
Well, martial arts just happened to be something I was into. I played music as well. I played piano, but it didn't have a connection with the acting, so to speak. I just got interested in acting later on. When I was in, my first years of college and stuff, of course, there's because of doing martial arts, there's some opportunities to fuse the two together, I did theater. I did a lot of just straight legitimate acting work before I did any of the action stuff.
And then you were able to kind of merge them together and say, hey, guys, I can kick people in the head, too. That's a thing I can do.
Yeah, which was cool because the first time I really started doing martial arts in movies, the first real time was in Universal Soldier 2. And at that time, I had done Spawn and the Mike Tyson story. And a lot of folks thought maybe somebody doubled me for the martial arts stuff, which was that's what I was going for. I wanted, I wanted people to think of me as an actor first. And so that was the case. But then, later on, people think that I got into the movies based on martial arts.
That is what I thought. Yeah. I thought
that takes a lot of foresight for a young actor to know that how he wanted to define his career, because I would think, as a young man doing theater, that you could just say, hey, how much easier would it be to break into movies by, doing these martial arts?
Well, yeah, but, but there's never been a time where somebody has done martial art movies and was taken serious as an actor. It's kind of like one of those things where you just don't see that happening, because, most of the time people are going to pigeonhole you, So I knew my career would be a fight against that. So I didn't want to start out of the gate with the industry thinking that I only did martial arts.
And I suppose that is true. It's just like with people who are, you know, relatively well known for, you know, comedic talents, when they try to, you know, make the foray into drama, usually they're universally panned, and not because their performance is actually that bad. It's just because, hey, it's the rubber face guy. He's trying to do a psychological thriller. I can't watch this.
Well, yeah, you either have to, you have to be very, very good that so people forget. Or it's you know, or be lucky enough to be cast in something that you know, people think that you can do that. But luckily for me, in the industry, as far as studios and executives are concerned, I'm the guy who did Spawn and the Mike Tyson story and dramas. You know, these dramas, that's the first way they know me. They knew me as an actor first. So, you know, it's hard to... for them to look at me differently. But people later who discover me, they think just the martial arts.
I imagine it would be very difficult to have things about you be kind of out in the sphere and be able to look them up and to be able to, you know, reference them and go back and say, wait, that's not what I was trying to put out there.
Well, yeah, that happens a lot. I mean, I don't hold it against people. It's just what you do. You normally have to kind of, you know, shelf people. That's just the nature. Until you kind of show that you don't belong on one shelf. You have other things. But I have this very eclectic career where there are fans and there's groups who see me as different characters. There's groups that see me as Spawn, which is, of course, there's, you know, that's like a, you know, sci-fi thing. And then there's people that, you know, call me Marcus, which is from the Tyler Perry world, you know, and then I'm Black Dynamite in other situations. And then I'm Bone from Blood and Bone, because people who are really following the martial arts, that tends to be their favorite movie. And so, you know, I got all these, you know, strange one word characters that people associate me to. But it's a good thing, especially now that I'm doing my own stuff and creating my own brand. There's going to be a lot more coming up to confuse people.
You're putting together a production company called Gigantic. J-I-J-A-I-Gantic.
Yes. So it's been working out really good, and you know, I've always wanted to do my own thing.
And it's a good pun too. It's good.
Yeah, you see, I've been doing movies all around the globe. You know, a lot of people in the States may not know that. Like, I just came back from Romania 3 days ago, and this is my third movie in Romania. My whole plan was to look at this whole business in a global context. And so, you know, I can then begin to do my own films because my stuff is sold around the world.
Well, and if you've built yourself like quite the fan base, because you are so responsive to people who try to interact with you on social media. I see you constantly talking to people and answering questions, and you've built something for yourself where you're able to have, you know, help with funding some of these projects, or at least, you know, supporting the things that you're doing on your own, which is quite amazing.
Yeah, I try to, because, you know, it's one of the things, it's fortunate because I actually do like to interact with people. Part of why I'm even an actor is because, you know, I like to study people. For an actor, you know, we're responsible to recreate humanity and be connected. And so, you know, in a large sense, this social media thing has allowed me to interact with people in a way where I couldn't before. So, you know, and build the audience and find out what they really, you know, really give them some insight into things. And especially with what I'm getting ready to do now, to get them involved in the whole process. and build up the audience until the time where you can sit actually in front of these fans who help put you where you are and be able to shake their hands and look at them, you know, face to face one day. Because, you know, now, before, you know, before you could only do that with studios. And if they organized, you know, maybe a few screenings or whatever, you never really get a chance to meet your fans. But now that I'm doing my own thing, this is something I feel that's important. So I really want to be interactive with the fan base and be able to do movies that, you know, the fans would not normally be able to see through the regular studio system. A lot of the mid-sized movies are kind of going away, you know? So, you know, you got the big giant movies. That's fine. That's what studios are doing. But some of the smaller movies, some of the movies that I focus on, I mean, I'm going to be doing big films and smaller ones, but some of them, you know, like in the tradition of the Clint Eastwoods and the Charles Bronsons and these things, these movies where you sit back and drink a beer and enjoy it, you know, some kick-ass type of movies. Well, this
maybe
is my
not
forte.
With like an exploding robot and.
What's that?
Maybe something, you know, without an exploding robot and like a
right
giant 300 foot shark and stuff. Just,
yeah, you know,
people doing things.
Realistic movies that, you know, that people want to live vicariously through, where you know, it's not just some. I mean, feel your movies that you feel like these people really are doing the stunts, you know, and, you know, I think the Salt of the Earth type films.
And it's hard to do those now. Like you said, like all the studios are doing like their major blockbusters that they are almost certain were going to bring back profit. So for people who are doing smaller movies, which are probably quite amazing, to get lost in the shuffle. So if people can find them, you know, they'll probably rave about these things that they see, but it's just trying to get those to the audience. I think that's probably the issue.
Yeah. And these are movies that you can watch over and over and over. These tend to be people's favorite movie because a lot of these type of movies, like when they come on, you watch them again. You know, some of the big blockbuster movies, they're so formulaic. You kind of know what's going to happen. You know, so, I mean, I like to, you know, give people an experience. And, you know, the studios are not making movies like Outlaw Johnny Black or Black Dynamite or, you know, Blood and Bone. And I have some really, really great movies in store that you're just not going to see that haven't really been done before.
So unless people go to outlawjohnnyblackmovie.com. Throw Michael 20 bucks so he can make his movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's about like, I want people to be included and see, you know, with the website, we got things that items that have limitations on them. Like certain shirts will never be made anymore. We have unique belt buckles, bullets with your name on it, certain posters that are only going to be printed up to a certain amount. So there will be collector's items. It's something that's going to appreciate the moment you get it because, you know, and in fact, the fact is there are certain cases where you can possibly get a walk-on role in the movie. There's contests and things like that. And
I was going to say too, and if you have some real money, you can be a producer on the film.
True. And that's an experience that I like to open up to people, because when you make a movie, you're making something. It's kind of, there's an immortality to it because the movie is going to outlive you, you know.
Hopefully.
There are certain situations where you can name the horse in the movie. The livery stable
and name the horse in the movie. That could be dangerous.
Up a fun thing for people to be involved.
Michael, I had a question about your black belts. Now, mm-hmm. I work in a factory, and when you run a machine, like every year or so, you have to be like recertified on the machine. Like, you know, they mm-hmm. say, well, you might have forgotten a thing or two. Let's make sure that you still know what you're doing here. Right. Is that how black belts work? Or like once you have a black belt, you just forever have a black belt?
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of works that way. You don't, it doesn't diminish. But if you are trying to get another degree, that's when you have to sharpen your skills and be credible to get the next degree of black belt.
That's also if you're trying to compete, right? If you're trying to join a like a tournament, you need to make sure that you can still test in that belt.
Yeah, to some degree. Usually from third degree on is not as physical. Sometimes with, like, say, traditionally, if you're getting a third degree or fourth degree, that's kind of a thing where, like, you've had tenure. Like, say, some systems, to get a third or fourth degree, you've had to have promoted 20 students from white belt to black belt yourself. You know, there's certain milestones that you've had to create. That's why a lot of times nowadays that martial arts has become a business, they throw out all kinds of these degrees. There's some situations where there's kids that are 13 year olds and they're giving them fifth degree black belts, which is to me is silly, you know, because it's become a business.
They just keep certifying them.
Right. I mean, you get a sixth degree black belt. Come back.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, but traditionally, you can't get a fourth degree black belt unless you've got 30 years in the style. You know, that's like part of the conditions of becoming a third degree.
You know? You mean the 6 week session doesn't qualify you for the next degree?
it's become kind of crazy now. So the majority of the people walking around with, you know, eighth degrees and all that type of stuff is all this very made up stuff now. People have found out that you can just fake it, and the majority of folks are not going to know any different.
In doing research for the interview, Michael, the thing that kept popping up over and over again was you did a radio interview where you said that you could beat Bruce Lee in a fight.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the big thing when you Google you is a lot of people had comments on whether or not you could actually beat Bruce Lee in a fight. Yeah, so I thought maybe to raise awareness of this interview and, you know, like really get the headlines out there, I could just like name a bunch of people and you could just, I mean, whether you have any thoughts, I could just like say some people and you could just say you could beat them all in a fight.
We would love to be featured in the AV club. So please answer honestly. Well,
that thing is something I really regret saying, because there's certain things that you don't say to people who are non-martial artists. There's no fighter, real fighter, who would disagree with what I said. But see, Bruce Lee is a hero to everyone. He's a hero to me. He's the best martial artist in the world who's ever lived, in my opinion. But when you start, you know, pointing out reality to people that don't want to really face it, it's almost like sacrilegious.
And well, so I think what you said was that you outweighed him by 100 pounds.
Well, there's no fighter in the history of fighting, you know, no fighter who, like, I should have said, well, a guy Bruce Lee size who's 132 pounds, if he fought another fighter that's 150, it'd be very hard for him to defeat that person.
Well, and that's why they don't pair those types of people up in boxing or like UFC.
I think Rey fighter, Mysterio once beat the Big Show, Travis.
Yeah, a real fighter would not have any kind of discrepancy of what I said. And for, you know, me to weigh literally 100 pounds more than another person who's never fought, who's never been a professional fighter ever, who's my hero, but the reality is he's never been a professional fighter. But you know, you don't want your hero's names besmirched. I shouldn't have said that in mixed company. I should have only said that to fighters. But, you know, sometimes you try to educate people to reality and it just doesn't work, you know. So no, I regret that I said it, because, you know, people shouldn't, you know, and really it's like he's more of a hero to me than many people. But I just happen to speak about things that, like, hey, you know, it's kind of like, here's the magic trick. You know, here's a solution to the magic trick. Some people don't need to know that stuff.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, and I'm glad you said that, because if you say that you could beat up Cody from Step by Step, who starred in Kickboxer 2, 3, and 4, I'm going to be very upset.
Michael could probably beat up Cody.
I learned my lesson.
Okay, not Liam Neeson, the actor, Michael, but what about his character in the movie Taken?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And well, Liam Neeson, you know, he was a professional boxer at one time.
He was?
And yeah, he was a boxer. And you know, there's certain realities that come out, you know. There's some actors who, you know, you just believe them. And you know, even though Liam Neeson's of advanced age, it just shows that when you have that kind of ethic, it just kind of I think it just kind of rings true.
But you could take him though,
if you took his character's daughter, do you think he could get her back?
If I took his daughter?
Yeah, if you took his character's daughter, do you think his particular set of skills could get her back, or would you rue the day?
Well, hey, I think so, because it'd probably be his movie. So, I'm no fool. That would be a decent payday. And I respect Liam Neeson a great deal, and I won't even say that I could beat him up. I won't even say that, you know, I could beat up this 70-year-old guy.
Won't even say it out loud.
No, I'm not going to say that.
So you won't beat him up because you don't want to, not because you couldn't.
Well, you know, I'm not even going to say I could.
But what if it really came down to
Travis, we don't have our salacious headline yet.
I will destroy Liam Neeson in a fight. That's what you wanted me to say.
Oh, there we go. We got it. Okay, guys, for more information, go to outlawjohnnyblackmovie.com. Michael, what's your Twitter handle so that people can tweet at you and tell them they heard you?
I believe it's just hashtag Michael Jai White. And Jai is J-A-I. A lot of people call me Michael J. White, you know, because I believe it's because people are so used to Michael J. Fox. I think it just rolls off their tongue.
Well, it's not wrong, I guess.
And I will not say that I could beat up Michael J. Fox.
Could you beat up Marty McFly?
Possibly. I think, you know, Black Dynamite versus Marty McFly. I'd give it Black Dynamite. Yeah.
Hey, I have one final question, Michael. You have 13 years on me, and I look like I could be your decrepit old grandpa. Do you have any tips for me? Is sitting on the couch going to get me in better shape, eating snacks, drinking alcohol? What do I need to do?
I knew you knew the answer anyway. You know, you just got to get up and get moving. You know, and what it is I happen to be the happiest guy I know. And I think that's a large part of it. I don't feel any different than I felt in my 20s. Physically, as long as I'm, you know, under a certain weight, I don't feel any age whatsoever. You know, I just, there's just certain things that I can't eat, you know, that kind of bother me a little bit. And I got some gray, you know, but physically I feel no different.
So what you're saying is the first step is I need to be happy.
There you go, Travis. Find your happiness.
Yeah, if you're happy, you then do a lot of other things. You know, you do good things for yourself. You do things that you know, because you feel like working out. You feel like, you know, there's. I look at it like this, man. There's cane day for all of us, right? There's a day that we're going to be walking with a cane, and we're going to wish we had the option of being able to run and work out. We'll give anything we had to be able to do that. And so basically, I know that day is way down the road for me. And I don't want to feel terrible at that day knowing that I had this ability and I didn't use it. So, you know, that kind of inspires me to look at every day, the fact that I can get up and run and move. And you know, my body does what my brain tells it to do. I cherish these days because I know that they're not going to be around all my life.
So, I feel like that point right there might have just inspired me, actually, and might be my favorite takeaway.
Well, thank you. Well, then I'm happy to have done that.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can do it again sometime. Appreciate your time.
All right. I look forward to that.
OutlawedJohnnyBlackMovie.com. Check out the movie that Michael is crowdfunding. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Throw a few shekels.
Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm already thinking of stuff that I meant to ask him.
You like just hung up.
They were talking about the ninja stuff. It seemed like he didn't want to get into the ninja stuff, Travis. He wanted to be taken as seriously as an actor.
I feel like you could talk to him about this. I think he seemed to be fairly open to speaking about it.
I was looking up Steven Seagal. And did you know that Steven Seagal is a black belt in a style of karate that's only useful if it's the guy coming at you has a sword?
It's crazy.
Like, he's a black belt in like
what?
Fighting guys with swords when you don't have a sword. That's like the style.
Like hand to sword fighting?
Yeah, like he's a guy with his hands, and there's guys coming at him with swords.
How many people are really good black belts in this particular martial art?
Like getting swords away from people. That's the style of karate that he's good at.
How many people are black belts in this particular martial art?
I don't know. It's like one type of martial art that Steven Seagal does that thing where like people run at him and he like uses their momentum to like knock them on their ass. Like he gets out of the way and knocks them over.
The only thing I could think of with Steven Seagal is him putting a pool ball in a sock and beating the shit out of guys and out for justice.
He's like a matador. Like people run at him with swords and he like knocks them over.
Hmm.
And I was going to ask him if like he could fight Steven Seagal and beat him. But then I was also going to ask him if he could fight Steven Seagal with a sword and beat him and see if it was a different answer. So, because I think that he'd be at a disadvantage if you gave him the sword.
So you're saying he could probably take Steven Seagal normal, but if Michael Jai White had a sword, it might be harder because
that's what Steven Seagal trains for. That's what he's ready for.